And so I'm Lyndall Johnson, one of the local Dharma leaders, as I think most of you old timers here all know. And I'll be getting us started on this month's new topic of habits and patterns. And really, this is going to be a 2-month topic because this month we'll be looking more generally into our natural tendency to form habits, patterns, and routines. And the ways in which this can support our practice, as well as the ways in, that it can kind of be a disadvantage or a hindrance. And so we won't be focusing so much on what first comes to mind with this topic, bad habits. We'll be focusing more on the difficult habits next month when we consider difficult habits and addictive behavior. And I'm very pleased because I was actually able to find a good story to introduce this topic, which a lot of times has been kind of hard to do. And so I'm going to begin there. And this is a Moomin story. And some of you who have been coming for a while know that I read a story a while back about the Moomins. But if you don't know, the Moomins are a family of these fictional beings that kind of look like white hippopotamuses or hippopotami that walk on two legs, and their friends and neighbors. And the books are written by the Finnish author Tove Jansson. And the story I'm going to tell is a chapter from a longer book, Moomin Valley in November. And this is the book. And the story I'm going to read is about a Philijonk. And the Philijonk is this creature right here, the tall, skinny creature. And the Philijonk is a creature that's really fond of her routines. And not in a bad way, in a nice and orderly way, in a really regular way, kind of like the habits we're talking about that aren't really bad. They're useful, So she's in her routines, but then something happens, and you will hear in the story. One Thursday in November, it stopped raining, and Philijonk decided to wash the windows in the attic. She heated some water in the kitchen and sprinkled a little soap in it, but only a little. And then she carried the bowl upstairs, put it on a chair, and opened the window. She lifted up the bowl and climbed through the window to wash it from outside. And here it shows her this, can if you can see this picture of her on her roof getting ready to clean her window. Philijonk was wearing her carpet slippers, and as soon as she was on the steep, wet roof, she started to slide backward. She didn't have time to feel afraid. She flung her skinny body forward as quick as lightning, and in a giddy-making flash, slid down the roof on her stomach. Her slippers met the edge of the roof, and there she lay. Now she was scared. Fear crept through her and stuck like an inky taste in her throat. She blinked, but her eyes saw the ground far below. Her jaws were locked tight with horror and astonishment, and she couldn't scream. Anyway, there was no one to hear her. Philijonk had at last got rid of all her relatives and tiresome acquaintances. She had as much time as she wanted to look after her house and her solitude, and to fall off a roof all by herself among the beetles and indescribable maggots in the garden. Philijonk made an agonized creeping movement upward. Her paws groped over the slippery metal roof, but she slid back again and ended up where she had started from. The open window was banging in the wind. The wind sighed below in the garden, and time passed. A few drops of rain splashed on the roof. Then Philijonk remembered the lightning conductor which went up to the attic on the other side of the house. Very, very slowly she began to drag herself along the edge of the roof. first a little bit with one foot, then a little bit with the other. With her eyes tight shut and her stomach pressing against the roof, Filigrane crawled around her big house, and all the time she kept remembering that she suffered from dizziness and what it was like when it came over her. Then she felt the lightning conductor under her paw, grabbed it for dear life, and with her eyes shut tight, carefully pulled herself up to the floor above. There was nothing else in the whole world now except a thin wire with a Filigrane suspended from it. She caught hold of the narrow wooden edging which went around the attic, pulled herself up, and lay quite still. Gradually, she got up on all fours and waited until her legs stopped shaking. Step by step, she began to go a little further, her face against the wall. She came to window after window, but they were all closed. Her nose was too long and got in the way. Her hair fell over her eyes and tickled her nose. I mustn't sneeze. If I do, I shall lose my balance. I mustn't look. I mustn't even think. The heel of one of my slippers is all twisted. Nobody cares what happens to me. My corset is all wrinkled up somewhere, and any second now, one of all of these awful seconds, it started to rain. Filigrane opened her eyes and saw the steep roof over her shoulder and the edge of the roof and the fall below it through nothing. And her legs started to shake again, and everything began to go around and around. The dizziness had come. It pulled her away from the wall. The edge she was standing on became as thin and narrow as a razor. And in one interminable second, she tumbled all the way back through the whole of her Filigrane-ish life. Very slowly, she leaned backward, away from safety and toward the inexorable angle at which she would fall, was suspended there for what seemed like another eternity, and then sank forward again. Now she was nothing at all, just something that was trying to make itself as flat as possible and move on. There was the window. The wind had slammed it shut. The window frame was smooth and bare, and there was nothing to catch hold of and pull on, not even the smallest little nail. Filigrane tried with a hairpin, but it just bent. There inside she could see the bowl with the soapy water and the duster, an impassive picture of a commonplace but now unattainable world. The duster, it had got caught in the window frame. Filigrane's heart began to pound. She could see a little bit of the corner of the duster sticking out. She took hold of it, oh, so carefully, and pulled it gently. Oh, please don't let it break. Let it be my lovely new duster and not the old one. I shall never save old dusters again. I shall never save anything again. I shall be extravagant. I shall stop cleaning up. I do too much of it anyway. I'm persnickety. I shall be something quite different, but not a Filigrane. This is what Filigrane thought, imploringly but hopelessly, because a Filigrane can never, of course, be anything but a Filigrane. The duster held. Slowly the window opened again, and the wind banged it against the wall, and Filigrane flung herself headlong into the safety of the room and lay on the floor, and her stomach started going around and around, and she felt terribly sick. Above her head, the lamp in the ceiling swayed to and fro in the wind, all its tassels swinging at a uniform distance from one another, each with a little bead on the end. She looked at them attentively, quite taken by surprise by the little tassels, which she didn't remember ever having noticed before. And never before had she noticed that the lampshade was red, a very beautiful red, reminding her of the sunset. Even the hook in the ceiling had a new and unusual shape. She began to feel a little better. The whole room had changed. Everything looked new. Filigrane went up to the mirror and looked at herself. Her nose was covered in scratches on one side, and her hair was dead straight and wet through. Her eyes looked different. Fancy having eyes to see with, she thought. And how does one see? She began to feel cold because of the rain and because she had tumbled all the way through her life in a single second, and she decided to make herself a cup of coffee. But when she opened the cupboard in the kitchen, she saw for the first time that she had far too much china. Far too many serving dishes and roasting dishes and stacks of plates and hundreds of things to eat from and eat on, and only one Philly jog. And who would have them all when she died? "I'm not going to die at all," whispered Philly Jonk, and shut the cupboard door with a bang. She ran into the living room. She staggered around among the furniture in her bedroom and out again. She dashed into the dining room. She drew up the curtains and went up to the attic, and it was just as quiet everywhere. She left all the doors open. She opened the wardrobe where a suitcase lay, and at last she knew what she was going to do. She would go and stay with someone. She wanted to see people, people who talked and were pleasant and went in and out and filled the whole day. The Moomin family. It was about time she went to see Moomin Mama. Philly Junk took out her suitcase and put her silver vase in it. Moomin Mama must have that. She threw the water out onto the roof and closed the window. She dried her hair and put it in curlers, and then she drank her afternoon tea. The house had calmed down and was quite itself again. When Philly Junk had washed up her teacup, she took the silver vase out of the suitcase and put a china one in instead. She lit the lamp in the ceiling because the rain had made it get dark early. "What on earth came over me?" Philly Junk thought. "That lampshade isn't red at all. It's a little brownish. But in any case, I'm going away." So that is our story. And I think it gives a good illustration of some of the features of our tendency to form habits and patterns, and maybe a little bit about how we get caught up in them. So the first thing we can recognize in this story is that it's natural and normal for the mind to develop habits and patterns. It's not something that's personal. We don't need to feel bad about it or try to stop it. And in fact, it can be really useful. As you saw in the case of the Philly Junk, her routines weren't bad or destructive at all. They were actually pretty useful, you know, cleaning and taking care of her house, having your cup of coffee or her cup of tea, just the normal things that we do to take care of ourselves. And this is the same with many of our habits and patterns. A lot of them arise out of our values and are actually supported. The kinds of habits that range from taking time to clean the house and wash the dishes because we value orderliness, brushing our teeth and going for our morning walk because we value our bodies and our health, sitting every day and coming to Sims because we value mindfulness and meditation, things like that. And in the case of the Philly Junk, her routines and habits of cleaning and collecting china arose out of her love for order and cleanliness and her appreciation of beautiful things. So, you know, nothing bad. And in fact, the Buddhist teachings themselves really encourage us to incline the mind toward wholesome states and to practice wholesome behaviors like generosity or non-harming or truthfulness, you know, all of the precepts and the paramis. And so developing habits and routines out of these wholesome intentions can actually be a really positive thing. The habits and patterns we develop can help us to consistently do things that are good for us and for those around us. And they can make our everyday tasks go more smoothly and easily. And I know that I've really been appreciating the value of being able to form habits and patterns and routines, you know, this last couple of months, because I think like many of us with the new year, I've had New Year's resolutions and decided, well, I'm going to eat more healthy. I'm going to make sure that I exercise. So, you know, I've started doing things like, instead of reaching for that cookie, having a piece of fruit, making sure that I get out for a walk or a run. And over time, it's become easier. So if I don't do those things, I feel a little bit, I really should. So this formation of routines is really helpful. And I think all of us know that kind of thing. And some of the routines we have, you know, like having our morning coffee or tea, other kinds of habits can be relaxing and be a form of self-care. And some of these routines, when we do them, real mindfulness can arise out of this relaxation. So we can just be present for whatever happens. I think many of us have this experience, maybe getting up in the morning, not so much now, but when the weather is better, maybe going outside with a cup of coffee or tea and just sitting and listening to the birds, feeling the sun, drinking our beverage, just really being present. And that can be a really beautiful ritual that actually brings us into the into the present moment and encourages mindfulness. Now, of course, there are other habits that aren't so benign and don't arise out of such wholesome intentions and wholesome states of mind. We all know that. Habits that maybe come from our greed or desire to distract ourselves. But we're not going to go into those in much detail today because we'll have a whole month to consider those in April. And we all have plenty of those, plenty of bad habits to think about. So for now, it's more these more general and kind of positive aspects. Now, there's another aspect to our habits and routines that can be a good thing. They can give us a sense of comfort, which I talked about a little bit before, and also provide a sense of stability for us in a world that really is, by its own very nature, uncertain and unstable and impermanent. And this can be a good thing. We can't always be feeling the full force of uncertainty all the time. It can be just too difficult, too upsetting. So having some routines and patterns that give us more of a sense of groundedness is a really good thing. But also we have to keep in mind that even these most benign habits and rituals can have their own deluding quality. First, when something becomes a ritual or a habit, we often just stop paying attention to it. And we do it on autopilot. We don't even realize we're doing it sometimes. Our mind goes off to who knows what, our plans for the day, our worries, whatever. So we're no longer aware. And then this, you know, sort of helpful quality of a routine that maybe can bring us more clearly into the present moment, it doesn't really function that way because we're just sort of lost in our mental whatever. And also, the stability we find in our routines can really fool us and blind us to the impermanence that is actually there. So if we aren't careful, we can start to believe that the stability we create with our routines is the way things really are and really feel like we actually can control what's going to happen in our lives with our routines. And we may not consciously think that, but kind of in the back of our mind, it's really easy to get wrapped up in that kind of assumption. And sometimes it takes a shock, like the Philly Jaunt got when she fell off her roof, to make us see that we're caught up in these routines. And of course, you know, nobody wants that kind of shock. We definitely do not. And the Philly Jaunt really didn't want that kind of shock. But in her case too, you know, there were some things that came out of it that maybe were actually beneficial. In her case, after all the fear, finally climbing back and getting back into her attic room, she saw her home in a whole new way. She noticed things she'd been completely unaware of. The beautiful red lamp, you know, with its lovely tassels. And she noticed too some of her habits, all that china that she'd collected, that, you know, it wasn't a bad thing to have, but maybe she really didn't need all of that. And sometimes this happens to us too. And I think for many of us, the pandemic was that kind of a shock and a wake-up call that reminded us that our nice, well-organized life wasn't really so much under our control as we had maybe imagined it was. And of course, you know, the pandemic is something none of us in any way, shape, or form would ever have want to have happened. We would never wish it on anybody, and it's horrible and tragic in many, many ways. But at the same time, I think we also know that even though we wish this had never had to happen, we've learned some things from it. And in that way, there have been some maybe unexpected benefits. Just in the fact that we're more grateful maybe for the things that we do have in our life. You know, recognizing how lucky we are to have stayed healthy. Appreciating our very ordinary little routines. Appreciating being able to go outside and feel the sun. So in certain ways, maybe it has enhanced our ability to feel grateful for things that otherwise we might just take for granted. Of course, hopefully we can maintain enough awareness. So even though sometimes we do get caught up in our routines, it won't take falling off a roof or something like that to wake us up. And this really points to the fact that it's really important for us to understand and really take the time to remind ourselves regularly of the truth of impermanence, as uncomfortable and difficult as it is, and to remember that our true stability really does not come from these routines that we create, but it comes from within, from the equanimity that we develop through our practice. So remembering that, kind of keeping that in the forefronts of our mind as much as we can, that might be one of the themes as we go through this month, looking at habits and patterns. So this is a kind of an overview, you know, getting a little bit of a laying the groundwork of this topic, recognizing some of the ways in which habits and patterns are helpful, remembering that even though they can be helpful, we can be deluded by them. And we'll talk more in depth about all these issues in the weeks to come. Next week, for example, Suze is going to talk more about habits and patterns in meditation and in life. And so kind of going in more detail into this topic of how they can be helpful and how they might not necessarily be so helpful. The ways that our daily life habits and our meditation habits can reinforce each other, and maybe a little bit about the ways that they can work at cross purposes too sometimes if we don't think about what we're doing. And then the week after that, Art will be our Dharma teacher, and we'll be talking some more about the delusion of habits and this issue of waking up from that delusion so we can realize what's going on and maybe see too that we have a choice in whether to pursue our routine intentionally because we feel like it's a helpful thing or maybe stop and do something else. Kind of like the filly junk seeing her routine of collecting all that china and thinking, well, you know, not that this was bad, but maybe I don't need to do it. So being able to see that we can recognize that there is a choice point where we continue with behavior or leave the behavior. So we have a potential to have some freedom there and not just get stuck in a routine we don't even realize we're stuck in. And then the last week of the month, Lauren will be giving us an overview of the topic and some thoughts about how to practice with our tendency to form habits and patterns. So Tweri is getting a break this month because she's on retreat from teaching, but I think she's going to join us, I think, the last week as our meditation leader. So I think this should be a really rich and interesting month. And all of this work on some of the positive aspects of habits and patterns and just kind of noticing how they work and recognizing how normal and natural they are, I think this will learn a lot from them. Plus, it will put us in a really good position to work with the habits that are not so helpful without being too self-critical or unkind towards ourselves, you know, being able to see a bigger picture. So I think it will be a very interesting month, an interesting 2 months, really. A great topic with lots to think about. So at this point, I would like to conclude with some of the Buddha's words from the Dhammapada that relate to our habits and patterns. So if you would like to, maybe we can all just sit for a moment together while I read these words and maybe be inspired by these words. All experience is preceded by the mind, led by the mind, made by the mind. Speak or act with the corrupted mind, and suffering follows, as the wagon wheel follows the hoof of the ox. All experience is preceded by the mind, led by the mind, made by the mind. Speak and act with a peaceful mind, and happiness follows, like a never departing shadow. So thank you all for your kind attention, for coming to listen. And now we have some time for our small group discussion. Before I put you into the rooms, I have a couple of discussion questions for you to consider. One is, and you may not have a lot of ideas yet because we just started this topic, but, you know, just whatever comes up for you. How do your habits, routines, and patterns support you in your daily life and your meditation practice? And how do these habits and routines limit you? So how do your habits and routines support you? How do they limit you? Whatever you might think of. And we'll have about 15 minutes or so to discuss. And then we will come back into the larger group for any comments and discussion and questions, and then our closing. So I will put you into your groups and have a good discussion. I'll let you know when it gets close to the time that it to come back. Okay, it looks like everybody has come back. So we have some time now for people to share any comments that you might have about what you talked about in your groups or questions or whatever you might like to say. So you can kind of raise your hand in your window, or you can raise your little hand, your little virtual hand under reactions, or just maybe speak out if nobody says anything. So anyone that would like to share, please feel free. Mm-hmm.
You can raise your hand.
Oh, where Charlotte. Yes.
Don't see the raised hand.
Yeah. Raised hand is up top.
We were serious in our group discussing this, but we had a lot of good laughs too. And it felt so good to share some humor and, you know, to reinforce the good and good habits. So it was delightful.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. And I'm really glad that we decided to have this focus of this first month on the more positive things. I mean, that was one thing that Tweri suggested, because there'd be a whole month to talk about the difficult. And so I think, you know, realizing the positive aspects and how our tendency to form routines can really work for us is a good thing. Yeah, so thanks, Charlotte. And I'm glad that humor came up too.
So I don't think she's recognized.
Lyndall, there are two hands up, Amy, Donna, and Sean, and Bruce.
Oh, I see them. Okay, Amy? I didn't see those hands.
So this is Carol, and I'm with Amy, who's my daughter.
Oh.
So, but I think this is just at the end, and I thought the discussion, well, what are we supposed to do with habits? But I think there's a difficulty with saying healthy, unhealthy, good, bad. Mm-hmm. We've got a value judgment as opposed to the overall, what is happening with the habit? So I hope that that's going to, because the at least moment I shared was that it's the same as the awareness I've forgotten the name of your creature had with a frightening experience, not a desirable experience. And I think that might be a better way to look at this is, am I aware or aren't I aware? And rather than saying, gee, is this healthy or is it unhealthy? Taking the value, which is, I understand what you're trying to do to keep away from the, beating on yourself kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that that's a good way to start, characterizing habits by value judging them.
That's a really, really good point. I appreciate that very much. And I didn't really quite intend to make it that stark, but what you're saying about the important thing is the awareness is very, very true. I mean, just thinking about certain routines we have, there are routines that can really be, for example, if we go into them with a certain awareness, a wonderful opportunity to bring mindfulness into our daily life. Whereas if we go into them without much awareness, just a time when we're kind of checked out. So I think that's really, really true, that the awareness is the most important aspect rather than judging, you know, this is good or this is bad. I mean, certainly there's room for discernment and, you know, knowing if certain things that you're doing are causing you harm or others harm. But I think, yes, that's a very important point, is that the awareness is really a very important aspect, and a very neutral sort of habit can be either helpful or unhelpful, just depending on the awareness we bring. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. That's a very good point. Thank you.
Well, and I think healthy versus unhealthy is a better way to put it.
Yes, healthy versus
drawing health from a habit. Uh-huh. If I'm improving my health from a habit, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm aware. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. I think Sean and Bruce were next here. So,
well, I was in a group with Charlotte, and I just want to say that it was hilarious. It was a hilarious discussion, and I really needed the laughter. And I very much appreciated having so many laughs about my habits that I discussed. And I also realized that the topic is on the more, I don't know what, now I don't even know what word to use. I don't want to say good, but general characteristics, shall we say.
Well, you know, I mean, there are healthy habits and unhealthy habits, or, you know, wise habits and unwise habits. And I don't recognize, I spend more time noticing and being aware of the, I'm just going to use unwise for the word, my unwise habits than my wise beneficial habits. So I'm glad we started with this, because I'm really good at the other ones. Really good at identifying them and just myself over the head with them. So this is a good way to start.
Yeah, I think that was part of the intention, was to kind of discourage people from going into it beating themselves up to begin with. So yeah, thank you.
Well, that's how I started with my habit of, oh God, I got to go and talk in a small group. I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to say anything. And this isn't going to be any fun at all. And I had a blast. So there it goes.
And then it was hilarious. Well, thank you, guys.
Kirsten is next.
Yeah, Kirsten is next.
So, you know, I've definitely been trying to work on, I guess, the more wise habits and get rid of some negative habits. But what I really tried to focus on this last year, or, you know, in the new year, was just adding the wise habits, seeing if I could just kind of focus on that. And what I found was the more I focused on, I'm making sure I checked a couple of boxes a day, which was to meditate, to come to Sam's if there was an availability. It was funny, the negative habits didn't seem so attractive. Mm. So it wasn't that I was working on the negative habits. They just kind of, some of them are falling away. They're still there. But, you know, it is amazing how just pausing in your day can make such a difference. And anyway, and as I told the group, Sims has been a big part of that. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, Kristen. That's really encouraging, I think. And it is true that I found that true often with practice. It isn't so much that I make all of this big effort and I finally improve and get rid of this habit. It is more like it sort of falls away, or the need for it isn't there, mm-hmm. or something, like it's a more natural thing. And something occurred to me too, as I was listening also, that sometimes it's not even a matter of healthy or unhealthy. Sometimes it's just a matter of being in a rut and maybe needing a little bit of change and wake up. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. And let's see, Arv has something to say. His hand is raised.
Hi, I wanted to say I really appreciated Carol's point about the value judgment and the good and bad. And I think another dimension that we can think of habits along, and Lyndall, you just alluded to this in the last thing you just said, is the level of choice we have. We can, you know, and in fact, I think that's a way to distinguish what we'll be discussing this month from next month, in a way, is there are habits where we have more agency, right? Where we recognize that they're occurring, and we have a little space to decide, you know, are we going to continue with this or not? And then there are those habits that are, we're very much within, right? We, mm-hmm. that we may not even recognize yeah. them as habits. Mm-hmm. And even if we do recognize them, we may not have a lot of agency. You know, that's a different scale than good and bad.
Yeah.
But more choice and less choice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. That's another good way of framing it. And let's see, Lillian and Nikhil, did you have something you wanted to say? Maybe that can be the last one, because I need to let Susan give her closing.
We were just, I was just reacting with the crying laughing emoji to what Shauna said.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, thank you all for your great comments. It sounds like this is a topic that's really going to get people going and thinking and sharing.